The book of Acts, if you have your Bibles, the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Amen. Acts chapter number 9. Probably start off a little slow here, a little bit different type preaching than all what I usually do.
Bless him, Lord.
As I feel like it's going to take me a while to get my thought out here.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen. Acts chapter number 9. I've got to find my place too. Let's see here. I really need 5, but let's start at 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I want you to notice this. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but Paul thought, at this time, Saul thought he was working for the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. So, now the Lord speaking to him, red letters here, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So he had enough sense about him as to know it was the Lord, but really the Lord was saying, why are you persecuting me?
Yeah.
Amen. Saul thought he was doing the right job here. But the Spirit here, Jesus speaking to him, I honestly believe Saul saw Jesus. Amen.
Right. Come on.
And because we later find that he saw that great light that was brighter than the sun.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes in your life, he's brighter than anything.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So I just want you to kind of get the pretext here of where I feel like we're coming from. Amen. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I want you to notice he didn't beat around the bush here. He told Saul who he was.
Right.
I am Jesus,
right,
whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. Amen. That's really what I need right there. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. Possibly 90% of you, and this is not a negative statement whatsoever, I'd say at least 90% of you doesn't even understand the meaning of verse number 5. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Amen.
Come on.
But time I've done here, I hope you understand. Praise God. But so let's get what's going on here. The atmosphere that it was happening near in the ancient city of Caesarea, which lay tucked against the coast of Israel, against the Mediterranean Sea. This was the home of the mighty Roman militia. And approximately the year 62 AD, the governor here was a man by the name of Festus. Praise God.
Yeah.
It was a glorious Mediterranean evening. The crowds had gathered in a ballroom for this gala affair. Festus' special guests were the Jewish King Agrippa and his lady Bernice. And all the great men in the area had been invited, Jewish and Gentile, including the highest officers in the Roman military. Luke records it in Acts chapter 25 that today, amen, was just a ceremony of just everything was going great, if you will. Amen. People, the most high important people, Brother Daniel, had been invited into this happy atmosphere.
Yeah.
Everybody had come to see the star of the show. Amen. Everybody had come to see this preacher, praise God, of the gospel by the name of Paul. His reputation preceded him. Everybody had heard of this odd fellow by the name of Paul.
Yeah.
Amen. So Paul was brought into this room and every neck twisted as everybody began to look, amen, at the Apostle Paul when he was brought in. Maybe to their dismay, they didn't see what they expected. A small little, amen, bandy-legged, almost stooping, bound by a chain to a great big burly soldier. Amen. And the governor of Festus opened up the proceedings and he said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us today, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people have petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, amen, shouting that this man ought not to live, praise God.
Yeah.
But he said, I found that he had done nothing deserving of death, amen. He himself has appealed as a Roman citizen to the emperor, as this is his right to do so. I will send him to Rome, but I do not know what to write on his arrest sheet. I believe he's saved. Praise God.
Come on.
Amen. So perhaps we'll let him speak for himself. Amen. Great God in heaven. So let's get it here. The crowd murmured in anticipation as Paul amen, position himself before the Jewish king and the Roman emperor. And you can find this in Acts chapter number 26, amen. And Paul stands there and he says, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that it is before you that I am to make my defense today upon the charges that is brought against me by the Jews, and particularly as you, amen, are expert in all Jewish matters, both of our customs and disputes, and therefore I beg you to give me a patient hearing. Amen.
Yeah.
Paul here is cataloging his life in just a couple statements, and then spoke of his intense opposition to the Christians of the last 20 years. I'm just giving you the what's going on here, and then I'm going to preach to you.
Come on.
So Paul here, amen, says, I truly thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things also did I in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Listen to this. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Hallelujah. And if you remember, amen, Paul even come against a man, amen, by the name of Stephen. Remember that? Praise God. Amen. Paul even come against that man by the name of Stephen. And you remember what happened? Stephen come out there and he preached the gospel, and he told them the truth, and they got so mad, amen, that they stoned old Stephen, and Paul was right there. Praise God. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, I don't think the sight of that man of God, as he prayed and he cried, and he saw Jesus at the right hand, talking about Stephen here, when they beat him and they murdered him and they stoned him, amen, and as that man died gracefully with the grace of God, I believe the Holy Ghost all upon him, and he came some. Paul never forgot that. Hallelujah. God.
Right.
Let me tell, even though this world may seem like sin has them ravished and they're enjoying sin, amen, Paul was enjoying persecuting the church as he killed Christians, he imprisoned them. It looked as though Paul was having a big odd time. Amen. But guess what, Brother Daniel? I don't think he could go to bed at night and forget that blood running down Stephen's body. Amen. I don't think he went to bed at night and he could get that picture out of his mind as that man of God stood there preaching the gospel and they stoned him, and as he was dying, he was basically, amen, a Christ-like appearance, and he said, Lord, charge it not to their account. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. Oh, that never had never lost the conscience of Paul. Amen. Saul at that time, he never forgot that. Hallelujah. And that's old Saul telling us here, that Paul, if you will, now in his own words. Amen. So listen here. So he says, sometimes, amen, oh, we think that Paul just persecuted Saul. But in his very own words, listen to this. He said that I arrested many Christians. Amen. He said I prosecuted a number of believers to death. He killed multiple Christian believers.
Right.
Amen. And he said, compelling some believers to blaspheme Christ. I caused some to blaspheme the name. I caused them to deny Christ himself. He's laying out the accusations against him. Amen. Taking his vendetta against Christians, even outside of Israel. Praise God. He said, I did all things wickedly against Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Yeah.
Great God. Amen. This all gives a dimension to Luke. Amen. Summary there in the book of Acts. In my text that I read to you today. And saw it breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Saul had been a madman against Christ and against the Lord's followers. Yet in a stunning turnaround, this man became not Saul but Paul, one of Christ's greatest disciples that ever lived. Amen. I remember when I was just young, I used to think that Peter was the greatest disciple. Amen. I used to think Brother Daniel, that Peter was that great one. And I'd read after a man by the name of Clarence McCartney. I still have a lot of books by him. I haven't read him in a long time. But old McCartney's hero was Paul. And when I was just young, learning, amen, I really had a war in my mind. I would always think Peter was the greatest. And McCartney always thought Paul was the greatest. And in my mind, I thought Peter was the greatest disciple. But it's hands down, amen. There's never been a man like Paul, amen, besides Christ himself, amen. As much as Paul gave his life against Christ, he gave it a double portion when he flipped. And his name turned from Saul, and it turned to Paul. He was willing to die at the stake. He was willing to give his life for the cause of Christ, amen. And he went against the church. He killed members of the church. He imprisoned them. He caused them to blaspheme. But Acts chapter number 9, amen, verse number 3-5, I read to you today, was that Damascus Road experience. Amen. That is what changed Paul's life. And if you'll give me a few minutes, I'd like to preach to us. You can't live, amen, against everything that you've ever known. Paul, you persecuted the church. You spent your life tearing the church down. You spent your life doing everything against Christ. But you know you can't live like that in your mind, Paul. You know you can't do it. Hallelujah. So here he is in this ballroom. Festus, Agrippa, all the important people of that day. And old Paul's to tell them, I was a horrible man. Amen. I killed the church. I imprisoned them. Amen. I caused them to blaspheme. But he's zeroing in like a preacher does. Amen. He gets down there. But he said, there was a day when I was going to Damascus. About a four or five day journey from Jerusalem. And he said, I had intentions on getting down there and causing havoc down. Man, I was going to get down there and bust them up. I was going to get down there and do some more work against the church. But he said, I got down there and something happened on my way to Damascus. Around about noon, there was a light shining. And it said, why persecutest thou me? Amen. And he looks at that light and he says, oh Lord, what do you mean? Why do I persecute you? Amen. Hey God in heaven. And you know what? Paul had a change of heart that day. But Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Amen. Here's my message today. What does that mean? Well, you remember I preached to you a while back about old Shamgar, that man of the Old Testament that the Bible said slew 600 men and delivered Israel without a weapon. What did he have? He had an ox goad. Amen. This word prick means to goad. And an ox goad was an agricultural tool. Amen. That when that ox got out of the row and that ox wanted to get aside and when that ox wanted to do what he wanted to do, amen, that farmer would prick him with a long spear, which was called a goad. And Jesus met Paul on that day and he said, Paul, you've been like an ox trying to do it your way. You've been like an ox getting out of line, getting out of the rows and doing it. You can't kick against the pricks. Paul, I'm pricking you with the goad. Paul, I've got you right where I need you. I've got a purpose for your life. And it's not to tear down the church. It's to build up the church. It's not to fight your conscience. It's to live with your conscience. Great God, I come to tell us on the last day of this year, you can't kick against the pricks. You can't live against what you know is right. You gotta go with it. You can't fight it. You can't tear it down. You can't say, I don't believe it. You can't fight against the pricks. Amen.
Yes.
Come on. Bless him, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now here's the ground zero for a Christian. Once you come into the enlightenment of Christ,
come on,
and once you come into the enlightenment of wrong and right,
come on,
and truth and false, I don't care, you can go to the ends of the earth and you ain't going to get away from that prick.
That's right, man.
Yeah. That's why they tell of the Billy Grizzles that got saved on a bar stool. Amen. That's why they tell, amen, of some man or woman's wayward child that was raised up in the house of God. They get down somewhere in the lowest of the low. That's why the prodigal got down in the hog pen. That's why that prodigal, he ended up, Brother Daniel, in the far country. Amen. He had spent all that he had in riotous living. He had lived it up. Man, he was enjoying the world until he ended up in the hog pen. Amen. Prodigal, you can't make it against the brick. Hey, God, God's going to prick you. God's going to steer you until he gets you, amen, to where he needs you.
Amen.
Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Pray for me, church. Amen. I feel like I'm right where I need to be. Hey! Oh, some might say, you go down to that old church and they preach that stuff, you don't got to live. Thank God! Let me tell you something. Amen. They might have seared their conscience with a hot iron. Hey, the cold! They might say, you don't got to live like that. But let me tell you something. They're the most miserable people you ever seen on the face of the earth. That bunch that left the church. That bunch that left used to shout under the power of God. Used to know what it's like to feel God's presence in his house. Amen. And now they say, we've got as much as we ever have. No! That's why they gotta have strobe lights. That's why they gotta have fog shooting up out of machines. They're trying to mimic what they used to have. You can't fight against the pricks. Thank God. Hey, I come to kill us. You can't fight against everything you know.
Amen, brother. Come on, tell me.
Yes, God.
Glory to God.
Woo! Yes, come God.
On. Am I doing all right?
Come on, amen. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jesus was right. And Saul admitted to it. What shall Saul said, what shall I do, Lord? And he cried. Amen. And Jesus gave Saul, whom he later called Paul, his commission. Amen. And Acts 26:19 affirms, I believe, one of the greatest conversions known unto Christianity, when Paul said to this monarch before him, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to this heavenly vision. Once again, this preacher here zeroing in. Salvation, amen, was his sudden realization of how hard it is to live against that which you know is right. Amen. It's hard to live against that inner conviction, but the deceptiveness of the gradual has worn away everything you were taught as a child. Amen. I don't want to get into this, although it's not my message. Amen. Although it's true. Amen. Many of you know, I don't have a television in my home. I haven't had a television since I moved out of mom and dad's house at the age of 18 years old. I didn't have one then. They had one. Amen. So what's wrong with the television, Brother Jason? Well, I'm not here to preach against that, but I'm just here to tell you the facts. Amen. Did you know that when television first became popular, amen, in the the 50s or the 60s? Amen. I heard Brother Lloyd Shoecraft say this. He's old enough to remember some of the earliest shows. And they said one of the worst things that happened in Andy Griffith days in the schoolhouse was a child chewing bubble gum and sticking their gum on the table at the schoolhouse desk. That was the troubles they had to deal with back then. But did you know, amen, in that time, amen, Shoecraft said he remembers as a teenager the first time he ever saw, amen, a man murdered on television. Amen. Oh, it was gruesome. It was something to see somebody lose their life on a national television set. Oh, hardly ever did it happen. Amen. Because they had to sensitize the people to that. They had to get them desensitized. Hey, God, let me tell you something. Amen. It ain't just one murder now. You can't hardly flip nothing on without seeing person after person after person murdered. Amen. Adultery. Hey, you list every work of the flesh and it's listed on that thing. Amen. Why are you against it, Brother Jason? It desensitizes. and we see the works of the world right on that, and the devil tells us there ain't nothing wrong with murder, there ain't nothing wrong with adultery, there ain't nothing wrong with the sins of this day. It desensitizes us to the things of God.
Yes, it does.
Oh, bless him, Lord.
Come on. Come on.
That didn't cost you one dime extra.
Come on. Come on.
Woo! Amen. Oh, yes. And that's the way the devil works. He starts off easy, but he ends up, amen, with a heavy punch. Oh, yeah. He's like Muhammad Ali. Oh, Muhammad Ali danced around, tap, 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 a little bit with a jab. Amen. And he made you think he couldn't hit hard. But by the time he laid that mumbo jumbo on you, he had you knocked out on the pad. And that's the way the devil is. He starts out easy. He starts out with a jab. He starts out dancing around, make you think he ain't strong. But what manner of man can take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Hey, I come to tell you, you gotta watch out. Hey, man, the devil will get the upper hand on you if you let him.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
It's hard for you to live against your inner convictions.
Come on.
Amen. But the deceptiveness of the gradual has worn away at everything that we've ever been taught.
You're right, man.
Amen. A lady said, a lady said that she hadn't been to church in quite some time. That was raised in a preacher's home. I can tell you something. My kids go to church every time the doors open. Amen. Every time the doors open, my kids are in church.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we're going to, I guess, have to get something to eat here in a minute. Rest up a little bit. And we're going to be in church. Ring the old year out and the new year in. Amen. That's the life my children have lived. And I'm not here bragging or nothing like that. Amen. Matter of fact, I enter this reverently. But the odds of my children dropping out, amen, when they get old, are not great. Because I've taught them, amen, the precepts of the Word of God.
Right.
I'm not so much worried, amen, about them losing what I've taught them, but I wonder about my grandkids. Amen. It's the gradual deceptiveness of sin. If they let up with what Dad taught them, amen, I wonder how much my grandchild, amen, will fear God. I wonder how much they'll go to church. I've seen parents make such an imprint on their children that even though they mingle around the edges and never really get an experience for themselves, they still come to church. They still live the part. They still act the part because it was put in them so great. But oh, I come to tell us, you can get it so good that not only your children get it, but their children keep it. And their children keep it. God, pour it out on us. Give us the Holy Ghost in this day. Oh, that we get serious with God.
That's exactly right.
Thank you, Lord.
Saul had to know when he looked on that bloody corpse of Stephen that he had sinned. Amen.
Come on.
And I don't think he ever got that portrait, that picture out of his face, out of his mind, out of his eyes. May I suggest to you that people, amen, can give you wrong information. Brother Jason, people's going to give me deliberate wrong information. You got it.
Right.
You got it.
Right.
People will deliberately steer you the wrong way. If somebody tells you that you can drink a little beer and a little alcohol and dip dabble in the world just a little bit and be all right, they're telling you wrong.
Amen.
If somebody tells you you don't have to live a holy lifestyle, amen. That's the old timers had to live life. Come on, the old people had to do that. It's a different generation. This is a different. You ever heard that?
Oh yeah.
This is a different time. We don't quite have to live it like. Well, they're telling you. They're deliberately telling you wrong, Brother Daniel. If anybody gets to heaven, if you're going to walk on, amen, golden streets in heaven and walk through pearly gates and make it to God's heaven, you gotta live holy. I said you gotta live holy on the last day of 2023. There's a preacher that'll tell you you gotta live holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's hard for you to go against your intellect.
Come on.
Later in life, Paul declared, I know in whom I have believed.
That's it.
It is how I think who I believe in. I'm mostly persuaded, but he said, I know it. In whom, great God, I have believed. The gospel appeals to the intellect. And I feel like he's appealing to your intellect right here today.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. Amen. The world has lied to you about that. Amen. When they tried to tear down the importance and the actuality of the Word of God. When they say Jonah was never really swallowed by a whale. When they say the resurrection was never really real. Jesus could not actually get up from the dead. Amen. Did Jesus really walk on water? Did Moses really part the Red Sea? Can Samson really kill 1,000 warriors with the jawbone of a donkey? Amen. Come on. Is that really real? They're deliberately tearing down the knowledge of God. Amen. Yet you know the Bible is accurate. And every time, amen, you have acted against its principles, it has been hard. It's difficult to live against what you know is right. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I ain't going to preach much longer, but I feel like telling you, you can't live against what you know is right.
That's right.
You know is right.
Every scientist that has ever set out to prove the Bible inaccurate has found out that it's accurate.
Right.
And numerous of scientists I've read have got saved in the process. They set out to prove atheism. They set out to prove the Big Bang. They set out to prove their agendas. But when it was all said and done, they said it's the inerrant, amen, Word of God. And I come to tell you, you can't go against what you know is right. Amen. Oh, I believe that the demise of the Sunday school in our churches has been satanically motivated, devised to keep people from learning the facts of the gospel.
Yeah.
Did you know the Sunday school is under attack in America and around the world? Our children no longer learn and know the, amen, basic concepts of the Word of God. It's a sad day. That's the devil's devise. The devil tearing down the Word because he knows if we raise a generation that don't know God's Word, then they won't know God.
You're right.
Sister Dottie, keep doing your best.
Yes.
Brother Tom, do your best.
Yes.
Sister Kathy, do your best.
Do the best.
Brother Tommy, do your best. Aunt Michelle, do your best.
Woo!
Because believe it or not, those children you're teaching on a Sunday basis, every Sunday morning for the 45 minutes we're up there, amen, you're doing the Lord's work. Hey! Amen. Right. When God, I want you to notice this. I got so much, I thought I could get it out here, but I'm out of time. Amen. Brother Daniel, I want you to notice this. Amen. When Paul said, Lord, why? Amen. And Jesus spoke back to him. And he said, why persecutest thou me? I want you to look at this. Paul never slung a punch at Christ. Paul never murdered Christ. But he went against Christ's church. And Jesus said, that church, if you do it to the church, you do it to me. I am the church. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And if Jesus was the church, and if Paul was going against the church, you're the church. And when we teach a Sunday school class, we're building the church. When we preach a message, we're building the church. When we sing a song, we're building the church. You're part of the church. I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost in this house today. We're part, amen, of an infinite church that'll never die. And it's part of Christ himself.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So the girl said to Sister Dottie, want them to learn the 9 spiritual gifts.
Come on. Good.
That's great.
Yeah.
You ought to give them a homework like that every week.
Yes, God.
They need to learn those things.
Amen.
So they was up there last night, and I said, not only do you learn them, write them down. They wrote them down on a piece of paper. I said, memorize them. They memorize them. I give it to them. They call them back. And I said, not only that, when you get out of class tomorrow, you're going to stand up before the church and tell them what the 9 spiritual gifts are. And you crack down on them. Yeah. And if they give you any lip, send them to me. Woo! Hey, you ought to learn them things. Right. You ought to hide His word in your heart. Yeah. That I might not sin. I want His word. I want His word. I want it in my heart. Yeah. Him and I are trying to get to heaven. Church, we're trying to get to heaven. This is serious.
Amen, bro.
Yes, it is.
Bless Him, Lord.
I got to get here the rest of them. I'll send an order here. We're late than I usually do. Amen.
Bless
and when you know in whom you have believed, it is difficult, amen, indeed, to live a different life.
Right.
Once again, I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, but I have no worries, Brother George, about me backsliding and going to a bar room. Yeah. I have no worries right. about Come that. Amen. Woo. And once again, I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. I'm not up here bragging and boasting. Jason said he's too good. Amen. Because I know what Corinthians said. Let that man that take heed in his heart, lest he boast. If you don't watch out, you think that man that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. If you don't watch out, you'll fall. Amen. But I'm not worried about getting out in this world and doing drugs and smoking dope and doing. Hey, why not, Brother Jason? Because it's not in my heart. I said, it's not in my heart. Oh! Amen, Brother George and I was talking. Michelle and I was talking how somebody can leave the house of God and it broke our heart when we saw a beer sitting on the table in front of them. Hey, it breaks your heart. Amen, Brother Tom, and you think, how could you do that? Hey, how could they tell us? You can't live against everything you know is wrong. Pray for me. I'm wound up this morning.
Jesus.
You can't do it. You may leave and you may do them things, but you will never find happiness.
Right. Never.
You'll never find joy because you can't kick against the bricks. You got that great shepherd back there prodding you. You got that great shepherd pricking you. I believe that's why he said, Brother George, to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Why? Because he's got a prick gouging him in the side.
Right.
And then my kids might grow up and say, I don't see it daddy's way. But they'll have a prick. Daddy could be dead and gone. I might be in a grave. But they'll have a prick that's picking them in the side. You know better. You know better. That conscience, it'll never die. Hey, I come to tell us, hey, God in here, you can't live against everything you know is right.
Amen.
Right. I hope I'm preaching to you.
Oh, 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 oh. Gotta come on, buddy. Come on.
Come on.
Lastly, I got to say this, and I'm done. You'll never get rid of your conscience.
Right.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Even though it may be seared. But George and I was talking about it. You hear it sometimes. Such and so, man, they had an affair. They had a long-term affair. It's bad enough to have a one-night stand. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you could live in sin and live in adultery for 3, 4, 5 years and hide that, I tell you, Paul, you seared your conscience, and you're living on dangerous grounds. You better pray for me, because I'm going to finish this.
Come on, come on.
Hallelujah. Even though it may be seared and more silent, conscience is the greatest preacher. Amen. God once walked with Adam in the cool of the day in that Garden of Eden. But did you know when Adam sinned, he separated himself from God? I never thought of this much, Brother George. Amen. He walked with God. And if he walked with God, he had to talk with God. I wonder what God told him. I wonder what God had to say. Oh, amen. But Adam walked with God, but he still sinned. And he stooped down into sin. And he got out of the prayer. And God came walking. And Adam wasn't there. And he cried, Adam, Adam, where art thou? And Adam's conscience got to him. Amen. And he tried to lie to God. And finally said, God, I'm naked. And God said, who told you you're naked? His conscience got to eating at him. I believe Adam told Cain, Cain, don't ever sin. Cain, don't ever get get away from God. It's the worst thing in the world to get away and not feel God and not feel His presence. Son, don't ever get away from God. Don't do it. But guess what? Cain killed his brother Abel. Oh, and Cain thought he could get by. And it wasn't long. It was just a space of, amen, short amount of time. Amen. Cain ran into the woods and he wailed, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Of his day, he saw his brother's blood in his eyes. Every step he took, his conscience wouldn't let him go. You can't outride that. You can't override your conscience. It'll follow you to the grave.
Oh God.
Glory to God.
Oh God.
Hey, Samson. Samson, don't get down there. You know better than that.
Come on.
Samson, ain't that just like us?
Yeah.
We want to go ahead and find out for ourselves.
Yeah.
And he got down there and he got a hold of the wrong woman.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you, young boy, something. The wrong woman will ruin your life.
You're right.
And let me tell you, young girl, something.
Exactly right.
The wrong man will ruin your life.
Right.
Amen. Woo. That's why it's something you better pray about.
Yes.
That's why it's something you better fast about.
Yeah.
And that's why it's something you better pray down from heaven.
Yeah.
And don't let somebody else push you into something because they said it. You pray it through for yourself. Oh, God. Oh. Amen. It's the most important decision of your life. Amen. Outside of being saved, it's who you're going to live with for the rest of your life.
Right.
Exactly right.
Come on.
Is this all right, Pastor?
That's all right. Amen.
Oh, but Samson said, "I want her. I want Delilah." Amen. But oh, Samson, amen. He got down there and got to messing with the wrong woman, and he got a haircut in the wrong barber shop, and he lost the power of God, and he lost the glory of God, and he shook himself.
Yeah.
Amen. He couldn't get away from his conscience. Amen. I come to tell.
Greg,
you'll never outrun your conscience.
Holy Lord,
never outrun.
Holy Lord.
All right, this is really what persuaded me, Brother Tommy.
Come on, brother.
Look at Judas.
Jesus.
Why don't you look at Judas? Judas walked with Christ 3.5 years.
Sure.
Listen to this, Brother Tommy. He walked with Christ. He saw the miracles of Christ.
Yes,
he is one of the 9 spiritual gifts. Don't forget that. The working of miracles. He saw the miracles of Christ. He saw Christ raise the dead. He saw Christ feed the thousands. He saw Christ lay hands on the blinded eyes and they received their sight. Judas walked with the Son of God himself.
That's right.
But he sinned.
Yeah.
And he betrayed the Son of God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
3.5 years of walking with the Son of God. Couldn't just quite get to him. But an hour of conscience drove him over the edge.
Ain't worth it.
He sold Christ out, Brother George, for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. Amen. But after he did that about an hour or two, the Bible said he went out into the darkness and he found a gallows and he hanged himself. He couldn't get away from conscience. The moment he sold, amen, Christ out, I can't think about what Jesus looked at and called him a friend. The moment he walked away, he couldn't get it out of his eyes. You can't live against everything you know is right. I come to tell you, humble your heart, submit to God, and say, God, I want to do it your way. Stand with me, I'm done.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have voice to preach now tonight. Pray with me real quick, church. Pray with me. Pray with me. Let's pray.
Oh,
Yea, I say I've spoken to thee this day. Yea, I say I've sent my spirit to deal with your heart this day. I'm going to ask you one more time, what are you going to do about it? Yea, I'm going to ask you one more time, what are you going to do about it? You'll never get away from that spirit. You'll never get away from that knowledge of the right. Yea, I say unto thee this day, turn from thy wicked way. Follow me, saith God. Follow me, saith God, and I'll lead you to the paths of righteousness. Saith God this day. Oh, I'm stirred in my heart today, church. I'm stirred in my heart. I wish I knew exactly who I was preaching to. I'd come to you with these tears in my eyes. You can do it. You ain't gonna get away from it. You can reason it away. You can reason it away. You can say it ain't true. You can have 10 preachers tell you there's a new way. I come to tell you this day, you will never get away from it. You will never get away from it. You will never get away from it. Say it for me. Just a great way to help me here.
Alex.
For the Holy Ghost in this house, church, pray for us, pray for us, pray for me. Pray for this individual, pray for, I think there's probably several individuals needs to get this order. I'm not even saying, here's what I think. I'm not even sitting here saying you're lost. I'm not even sitting here saying you're an ultra reprobate. I'm sitting here saying you're debating too much stuff in your mind, saying, I just don't know if that's right. You're never going to get away from the right. You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it. Once Judas come to that truth, he couldn't do it. Once Samson came to truth, he couldn't. What about David? I forgot David.
Right.
David knew what was right. He sinned. And he said, oh God, amen. David said this. He said, purge me, oh God, and I shall be clean.
Purge me.
Oh God. I feel like that's what somebody needs again. I'm gonna reiterate this one more time. I'm not sitting here saying you're lost and you're far away from God. I'm sitting here saying it's time to humble yourself, like Paul did. He said, finally, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? God gave him directions. Paul followed. And he told Agrippa, he said, I followed the words of the Lord and I got saved. And he got old Agrippa to the place where old Agrippa said, almost, Paul.
Almost.
Almost thou persuadest me to be. Paul, you almost got to my heart.
Oh, God.
Come on.
God have you, oh, God.
Don't let that be you. Don't walk out them doors and say, I was almost persuaded 100% of what I knew was right. Why, Sister Mary, hit them keys on that piano.
Jesus.
I'm going to call us into this order. Hey, I think there's probably two or three in dire need of this word right now.
Yes, Lord.
We all need it. Everybody in this house needs to hear what I'm saying. You're going to come to a time in your life where the devil's going to cause you to question everything you believe.
That's right.
But you better settle it right here in this altar. Who wants to settle it? I've done my best to it for you here today. Who wants to settle these questions in your mind today? Man, this altar is, 25 feet long? Amen. Let's make these front seats an altar. We're going to pack this out. Come on, church. Let's get in here. Somebody needs the help of God today. Somebody needs the help of God. Come on. You need to step out of there today and say, God, I'm not going to question this no more in my mind. Lord, I'm not going to fight these thoughts no more. I'm not going to try to talk it away and talk it out. But Lord, I'm going to settle it today.
As a child, I turn God away, not knowing the heartbreak a sinner would face. But God in His goodness has let me return to share with His children this lesson I've learned. Lord, oh, sin will take me farther. So with pleasure and promises, only a Savior could love me again. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Sin will take you farther if you want to go. Slowly but only take slowly but slowly, yes. Sin took control, leaving me dying with nothing to show. God worked my loved ones and my dearest friends.
God, help us today, Lord.
Only a Savior can love me again. Oh, God, sin will take you farther than you want to go.
Sin will cost you far more than you want.